What if someone could watch your brain, decide to buy that overpriced latte before you even reached for your wallet? For centuries, our thoughts seemed like the last private sanctuary, invisible, intangible, ours alone. But functional magnetic resonance imaging has shattered that assumption. This technology doesn't just show us pretty pictures of the brain lighting up, it's beginning to decode the very language of thought itself. When a Stanford professor scanned his own brain 104 times to advance the science, he wasn't just being dedicated. He was acknowledging that understanding this 3-pound universe inside our skulls might be humanity's most consequential scientific challenge. The implications ripple far beyond laboratories, touching courtrooms, marketing campaigns, and the deepest questions about what makes us human. We stand at a threshold where the era of truly private thoughts has ended, and what we choose to do with this power will define not just the future of neuroscience, but the future of humanity's dignity, justice, and self-understanding itself. Your brain rivals the world's most powerful supercomputers while consuming just 20 watts, the energy of a refrigerator bulb. Despite representing only 2% of your body weight, it devours 20% of your energy, orchestrating 86 billion neurons firing through 100 trillion connections. Each neuron operates in all-or-none fashion, either firing completely or not at all. Yet this binary system produces Shakespeare's sonnets, Einstein's equations, and your grandmother's secret cookie recipe. Biological intelligence thrives on resilience. When Lisa lost an entire brain hemisphere to treat severe epilepsy, her remaining hemisphere reorganized itself, eventually restoring lost language abilities. Try removing half a computer's motherboard and see what happens. This adaptability stems from the brain's primary function, predicting the future. Your Bayesian brain constantly forecasts everything from whether the sidewalk will hold your weight to whether your colleague will respond in English. When predictions fail, dopamine neurons signal the error, updating your internal model of reality. Modern neuroscience has demolished mind-body dualism. When surgeons stimulate specific brain regions, they reliably trigger specific experiences, vivid memories, overwhelming sadness, inexplicable joy. Your consciousness isn't housed in your brain like a driver in a car. It is the pattern of electrical activity coursing through neural networks. Modern neuroimaging began with Italian physician Angelo Masso's 1877 study of Michele Bertino, who survived a brick falling on his head. Through the skull opening, Masso discovered thinking increased brain pulsations, suggesting mental activity required increased blood flow. His human circulation balance showed heads became heavier during complex tasks, essentially a crude 19th century brain scanner. A century later, positron emission tomography tracked radioactive isotopes to map blood flow. The breakthrough came when researchers noticed contrast agents caused unexpected barkening in MRI images. Jack Bolivo demonstrated brain function measured by MRI in 1991, but his method required injections. By late 1991, three groups raced to develop contrast-free functional MRI. Seiji Ogawa showed MRI could detect blood oxygen levels, coining bold contrast. On May 9, 1991, Ken Kwong successfully ran the first bold experiment, making the visual cortex light up without injections. Brain decoding doesn't literally hear thoughts. Researchers build translation dictionaries mapping fMRI patterns to mental states. Jim Haxby demonstrated fMRI could decode what people viewed with over 90% accuracy. When he removed all face-selective brain areas, he still accurately identified when someone viewed faces, revealing information is distributed across the brain far more broadly than imagined. The real breakthrough came when researchers moved beyond choosing between limited options to reconstructing arbitrary images from brain activity. Kendrick Kay and Jack Gallant created quantitative receptive field models, achieving 92% accuracy. Yukiyasu Kamitani's team reconstructed simple viewed images, including geometric shapes and the word neuron. Thomas Nasalaris achieved full natural image reconstruction by combining fMRI data with 6 million internet images. Perhaps most profound is Adrian Owen's work with vegetative state patients. He asked individuals to imagine playing tennis or walking through their house, tasks producing distinctly different brain patterns. When testing a 23-year-old woman vegetative for 5 months following a car accident, her brain responded appropriately, suggesting intact conscious awareness despite complete unresponsiveness. This raises profound ethical questions. If such patients possess consciousness, should we ask whether they wish to continue living? We make thousands of daily choices, yet neuroeconomics reveals systematic irrationality. Daniel Bernoulli observed in the 1700s that utility decreases with abundance, explaining why we'd pay $2 for one candy bar, but not $20 for 10. Kahneman and Tversky's prospect theory demonstrated that losses hurt about twice as much as equivalent gains feel good, a phenomenon called loss aversion. Neuroimaging reveals the ventromedial prefrontal cortex and ventral striatum increase activity with gains but decrease more steeply with losses, matching loss aversion predictions. Dopamine drives learning by releasing when outcomes exceed expectations, strengthening neural connections through basal ganglia circuits. When automatic, these circuits override conscious intentions, like driving home instead of making a planned detour. Emily Falk's neurofocus group scanned brains viewing anti-smoking ads. While subjects rated campaign B most effective, campaign C triggered strongest ventromedial prefrontal cortex activity. Actual quitline calls matched neural predictions, not self-reported preferences, proving our brains sometimes know better than our conscious minds what influences behavior. 1 in 5 Americans experiences mental illness annually, yet disability rates climb despite massive research investment. Meta-analyses reveal consistent patterns: reduced gray matter in the anterior cingulate cortex and anterior insulae, regions critical for executive function and behavioral control. This overlap across disorders suggests shared biological roots beneath different symptoms. This biological reality clashes with psychiatric diagnosis. The DSM defines conditions through symptom checklists. For panic disorder, patients need recurrent attacks with 4 symptoms from 13 possibilities. 2 patients with completely different profiles receive identical diagnoses, unlike diabetes diagnosed through objective blood tests. Computational psychiatry uses mathematical models to understand affected brain systems. Michael J. Frank's research revealed schizophrenia patients behaved like unmedicated Parkinson's patients, impaired at learning from positive feedback, but normal with negative feedback, suggesting specific dopamine pathway dysfunction. When neuroimaging meets law, fundamental tensions emerge. Science asks whether adolescents generally have reduced impulse control. Courts must determine whether a specific teenager had diminished responsibility. Research shows the nucleus accumbens is especially active in teenagers, creating imbalance between heightened reward sensitivity and underdeveloped impulse control. The Supreme Court has increasingly incorporated such neuroscience into juvenile culpability decisions. The 2009 case of Lauren Semra tested fMRI lie detection. The judge rejected this evidence, citing small samples and generalizability concerns, a reminder that translating group-level findings to individual legal judgments remains deeply problematic. Studying the unified mind-brain requires complementary approaches. Psychologists discovered that testing yourself creates stronger memories than rereading, even though rereading feels more effective, a finding made through behavioral observation alone. Meanwhile, patients with Urbach-Wiethe disease, which damages the amygdala, cannot experience fear, except, curiously, suffocation fear. They laugh at horror movies and handle tarantulas with disturbing nonchalance. These natural experiments reveal which brain structures enable specific functions. Modern cognitive neuroscience weaves these threads together, watching neural circuits activate as people perform tasks, directly linking the physical and experiential dimensions of a single reality. Neuroimaging remains in its infancy, poised to become radically more powerful. Translation between human language and brain language is challenging because fMRI combines millions of neurons into each measurement, tracking blood flow changes rather than direct neural activity. These slow talkers summarize neural conversations over time. Stronger MRI magnets are improving resolution, while hospital scanners use 1.5 Tesla magnets and research centers 3 Tesla. Over 60 scanners worldwide now reach 7 Tesla, with the Netherlands housing a 9.4 Tesla scanner and Minnesota operating at 10.5 Tesla. Higher field imaging offers spatial resolution under 1 millimeter and captures blood oxygenation in smaller vessels, closer to actual neural activity. The reproducibility crisis has driven researchers toward radical transparency through data sharing. Neuroimaging has emerged as a leader in open science practices, with researchers sharing raw data for others to analyze and verify. Over 25 years, fMRI has transformed our understanding of mental functions, regional collaboration, and neural dysfunctions underlying mental illness. Most profoundly, fMRI's ability to decode mental states raises deep questions about consciousness and identity. The technology that seemed implausible, measuring blood oxygen to reveal thoughts, has proven remarkably powerful. The era when thoughts were truly private has ended.